Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a Christmas series called He Is. It's a series that celebrates the wonderful and unique attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great mystery of our faith, that in the beginning Jesus Christ was the Word of God and has always been with God, yet He humbled Himself to become a man whose virgin birth was announced by angels, and by dying on the cross He brought hope to the nations and salvation to all those who believe. Today, Pastor Jack comforts us with this hope that He is the Christ, the baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, came to the world to suffer for our sins, weep for our pain and sorrow, and to encourage us that He will never leave us or forsake us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew chapter 1, as we look at Jesus Christ this night, He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After His mother, Mary, was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public spectacle, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of through the Lord to the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen this star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Father, we pray that this night, on this eve of Christmas Day, celebrated around the world, we know that on Christmas Eve right now, as has happened on this globe, is happening here now, will happen in time zones yet to host the service, Lord, in Alaska and in Hawaii. All around the world, this day and tomorrow, services will be gathering together. People will be praising and worshiping and extolling the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight nobody can stop that. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter what goes on this world, that nothing can change the facts and the truth. That Christ has come. And He's not only come, but He has come as Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. We thank you, Father. And we have come as well to join with the wise men and for those who, throughout the last 2,000 years, so we do tonight. We gather together, for we have come to worship Him. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, number one, we've come to worship Him because He is, in fact, the Christ. And we see this tonight because it's He who came to suffer for us. We don't often put together the beautiful, wonderful picture of Jesus being born in Bethlehem to His suffering at the cross, but the Bible tells us that's exactly why Jesus came. That baby born in Bethlehem had a date with the cross. According to God's word, the Bible prophecy, everything was being worked out exactly as God had predetermined by His foreknowledge and counsel, that the baby born was destined for the cross. Honestly, Christians, tonight, this night, and I know it will be later when all of the pressure and all of the night's events and tomorrow settles in, that there'll be this pause for us. There'll be this reflection. The Christmas Advent announcement should be one that causes us to reflect and to think and to ponder and to be still because of the magnitude of what this amazing night signifies, that God would send forth his son to us. The very gift itself demands for you and I to think like that, to wonder. Why? Because he came to suffer. The baby born in Bethlehem came to suffer in Jerusalem. And when we think about human suffering all around the world, maybe it's more heightened to us now because of what's happening around the world. People are suffering. You don't have to watch the evening news to find out how gross and how tragic human suffering is. Maybe suffering has visited your own family. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, suffering. Or maybe it's the fact that you're going through something tonight, or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's an issue. Maybe it's financial. And the sense that when suffering comes to our lives, we're tempted to wonder, where is God in this? But I want you to know something tonight, that the baby who came to Bethlehem came to suffer in a way that you and I will never have to suffer. It's bad enough in human suffering to go through the things that we go through that tempts us to say or to ask, God, where are you in the midst of my cancer or my hurt or my emotional distress or our marriage or our finances? Where are you? That's one thing. But friends, tonight there is no suffering that is greater than what Jesus went through. And I am not per se mentioning the brutality at the cross, though that is vitally important. Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. Jesus suffered a suffering that you and I will never have to suffer if tonight you are a Christian, if you're a Christ follower. Think of it. The greatest suffering of all is yet ahead for those who will not accept the gift of Christmas. And that doesn't have to be. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to die on the cross, to suffer for us, that we would have access to God forever, that he would take away all that black, dark sin at his cross so that we could have access to God. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about the gifts. The gifts are to remind you of the gift given. He will never say, leave me, if you trust Jesus Christ. Listen, tonight you ought to trust Jesus Christ. Tonight you ought to make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Have you ever prayed, Lord Jesus, be my Savior? You don't need to be banished away from his presence. Christ came. I know that makes sense to you. Why would God send his son into the world if he didn't want you to be with him in heaven? But you must make that choice. The second thing I want you to think about is that not only did he come to suffer for us, but the second thing is that the Bible tells us that he wept. Jesus wept for us. Did you know that? We worship him tonight because he is the Christ who wept because of our sorrow and our pain. There is something about a baby's cry. Now look, if you've never had kids, you don't quite know exactly what I'm talking about. But every parent, every grandparent will know what I'm talking about. There's something about a baby's cry that causes the experienced parent to discern what that cry is all about. But there's a cry, the Bible tells us, there's a cry that is beyond what our human experience can ever experience. There's a cry of the human heart, the human soul. Jesus wept, the Bible says, for us because he knew the pain and the sorrow that the human soul goes through. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 11, verse 25, and Jesus said to her, Martha and Mary, he had been speaking to her because their brother was now dead. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Listen, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he turned to her and said, do you believe this? Verse 32 says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Isn't that just like us to blame God, right? They're blaming Jesus, which, by the way, that's great faith. Jesus tells Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Keep your eyes on God. In the midst of all of your weeping, and listen, you're going to weep. I'm going to weep. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have pain. I will have sorrow. I will have pain. And the Bible says you're not going to escape this world without it. But keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on Christ. Why? Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the answer to human sorrow and suffering. And so Mary now comes and she says, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's great faith, by the way. Verse 33 says, then when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35, Bible tells us the shortest verse in the Bible, but maybe it's the most powerful. John 11, 35 says, Jesus wept. And then all the Jews said to one another, see how he loved him? Jesus wept. The word wept means that Jesus was grieved in his innermost soul, and he wept with a deep cry. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know a Jesus like the Jesus of the Bible who weeps? The baby came. God came in human flesh to experience everything that you and I would go through. The third thing is that we've come to worship him tonight because he is the Christ who comforts us with his message. What message do you have tonight to hang on to that will give you hope through every situation of life? You have no message that can take you through that except the message that God gives in the Bible, that Jesus has come. It's absolutely awesome. If we would only listen to what God is trying to speak to us at this Christmas season, for those of us who are Christians, to remind us tonight, it's not about all of the glitz. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the decorations. It's not about the time off. God is reminding us. The second thing is, for maybe some of you who don't know him personally, if we would just pause to listen to his message. And we are so quick in this day and age to receive gossip or to hear something like jokes. We're so prone to embrace silly things. We're a culture where people gone astray. We believe in such strange things sometimes so willingly. And then the greatest news that's ever been announced to man, we fold our arms and we wonder, oh, I doubt it, or I don't know about that. And yet the message is exactly what you and I need. The message that Jesus Christ had come for us. But what God says is 100% true. God's word will never fail. Isn't it amazing? I'm holding in my hands the Bible. We're living in the 21st century. This book, 66 books collected over a nearly 2,000 year period of time. 27% of it Bible prophecy. All that has been fulfilled has been fulfilled literally. What remains we know will be fulfilled literally. The archaeological evidence, the scientific evidence, all of these things mentioned, the geography, all these different authors, some of them on different continents, all speaking together about one central key figure, Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation, spanning all human time, the Bible, always attacked, mocked, ridiculed, and yet bounces right back. And I encourage you tonight, if you do not know the God of the Bible, that you'd bow your knee to him tonight. That you would finally experience true Christmas and receive the greatest message that has ever been told. In John 16, 33, the Bible tells us these things. Jesus said, I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have difficulty or tribulation. Does that not sound like our day? But be of good cheer, said Jesus. I've overcome the world. The world has been conquered. Are you worrying? Are you prone to worry? Are you fretting? Are you wondering what the next year, next week holds in store? Listen, God says, Jesus says, don't worry. He knows what's going on. And be honest, what has worrying ever accomplished for you? Nothing ever, not once. And then listen, when that moment passes or that doctor's visit's over or you get the results or you pass through that issue, or the plane lands after the turbulence and you say, whoo, okay, wow, we made it. And then we get up and we forget that God was good to us. We're prone to that. No, Jesus says, in this world, you're gonna have bumpy rides. You're gonna have difficulties. So listen, what do? Panic about it? No, Jesus says, I've overcome it all. Hang on to me. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, the great prophet said, fear not, for I am with you. God speaking through him. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says that. Number four, we've come to worship him tonight because He is the Christ who encourages us with hope. With hope. Listen, as human beings, we rightfully gravitate toward hopeful things. Hope is a very, very powerful selling point, ladies and gentlemen. If they use the word or not, it's what Madison Avenue wants to market. That if you can somehow think in your mind and your psyche that it's going to give you some better opportunity, it's going to give you a better thing. If you wake up tomorrow morning with that BMW under your tree, you're going to be viewed as successful or something like that. I don't know. But why? Why do they do that? Because down deep inside, they want to provide for you or cause you to have a sense of buoyancy, that it's going to bear you up. It's going to pick you from the ashes in which you live in and put you on a happier plane. Why? Because they know that the human heart wants hope. Someone has wisely said that the moment a human being loses hope, you know, they may be dying of cancer for weeks or months or years. A person may be injured in some way or another, but hope keeps them going. Hope keeps them trying a new treatment. But someone has said wisely that the moment the human being loses all hope, that human being dies. Did you know that? The moment a human being loses all hope, that's when that human being dies. See, what do you mean by that? The person loses hope when they end their lives at that moment. They've lost all hope. And God never wants that to happen. It's Jesus Christ who encourages us with hope. You might be thinking tonight, well, if I had more money, I'd have hope. If I had better health, I'd have hope. If I'd meet that special someone, I'd have hope. Listen, not only is that not going to happen, it cannot happen. Oh, I'm not saying you can't meet the special person and you can't have more money and you can't be healthier. I'm not saying that. Those things cannot bring you hope. They're only a mask. Don't hope in your health. Don't hope in someone else. Don't hope in wealth. The Bible tells us hope in God. John chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, whoever, Jesus speaking, whoever believes, that is, puts their hope in him, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, that is, put their hope in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son, allow me to put it this way, for God did not send baby Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. Are you saved? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Did you know that there's only one way for you to go to heaven? It has nothing to do with your good works, has nothing to do with your good efforts, it has nothing to do with your morality. You cannot go to heaven on those things, the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that the wise men says, behold, that the star that they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over the young child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Because they believed in him, they had hope. What a strange picture, ladies and gentlemen. The wise men that you have in your nativity scene, that you read about in the gospel account, they came from ancient Babylon. They made that trek of over 800 miles to Israel. And they had come bringing three distinct separate forms of gifts that literally throughout antiquity speak of the deity of Christ, the purity, and his suffering, his death. What kind of a bizarro gift is that to bring to a baby born? They were bringing to him displays of his life, prophetic utterance. And then finally this, we worship him tonight because he is the Christ who welcomes us to be with him. Jesus Christ came to welcome you to be with him. Don't miss that. At this holy time, how is it that a baby lying in a manger could be the focal point of mankind? How is it that a baby lying in a manger drew the audience of heaven? Angels appeared in the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem. How is that? How is it that this little baby had such poor parents, and yet the birth of this child brought the Magi with such great wealth? How is it that the birth of Jesus Christ shook the Roman Empire? How is it that the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, into that little town of Bethlehem caused Herod to go insane? How is it? Ultimately, those who gathered around him came because they understood that the baby came, based on Bible prophecy, to invite you to know him. Jesus Christ came at Christmas to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven, to experience forgiveness. I want to wrap this up by reminding you of what's about to happen, maybe tonight at your home or tomorrow. And I want you to think this through for a second. For you and I to have gifts, listen, there's got to be a gift giver, and there's got to be a receiver. Number one, God is the gift giver. He gave his son, says the Bible. Number two, there has to be a receiver. The Bible says you are to be the receiver. God is the giver, and you're to be the receiver. So number one, the giver is God. Number one, receiver is you. That's in our equation. One, a giver, that's God. One, a receiver, that's you, that's me. But that doesn't stop there. Because whenever there's a gift given, it speaks of relationship, it speaks of communion, it speaks of intercourse. If a gift is given, then it's given back. Something's given back. If you reject, the giver gives, but the receiver never receives. The receiver throws it back at the giver. Are you with me? That's an insult. That's a disgrace. That's a heartbreak. Because what is implied out of the very heart, the giver gives something. And yet if it's rejected, it's a heartbreak. The second scenario is that the second giver in the equation is none other than me, you. God gives, I am to receive. But in my reception of the gospel, that the Bible says, if you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. God will accept you into his family freely because Christ paid the ticket. He paid it all. That if you receive that gift, then it's incumbent upon you to be now giver number two. Giver number two, are you ready? Listen, this is awesome. Please listen. Don't get up and leave. Listen. Giver number two is you and I give to God all of our wretched, stinking, lying, cheating, and stealing. Wicked thoughts, arrogance, pride, violence, hatred, everything that's inside of us. The stuff that you hate or have become accustomed to, and things that you say, well, that's just me. Excuse my French. No, your French will not be excused in heaven without Jesus Christ. No, it's not going to happen. The truth of the matter is, God has asked you and I to be the second giver. And the second giver is this. The second giver is the person who, like you and I, give God all of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, we give God these things.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called He is the Christ. Thanks for listening today. There is no greater message than the gospel. This lesson was just one in a Christmas series called He Is, a series that looks at the Christmas message through Old Testament prophecy and New Testament scripture. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're familiar with Pastor Jack, you know that he picks out a book of the month, a great suggestion for you to read. And this one, being the end of the year, is the New King James Version One-Year Bible. It's this month's Book of the Month. Go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and pick up the Book of the Month, the New King James Version One-Year Bible. Let's get through the Bible in 1 year all together. Also, before we let you go, Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas. May God bless you and your family this Christmas season. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.